We have Pete Downing, and I don't know, you're an engineer with...
Yeah, systems engineer. So I play on both the sales side of the house and the product management side of the house.
All right. You know, so you're a technical person.
Yep.
We have a technical audience. This is cool, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people have heard about how Ardence works. They know the basic concept of, you know, you set a computer to Pixie boot, it boots to the network, it sort of mounts a disk image file across the network. But a lot of people kind of wonder, okay, that sounds cool, but it also seems like it's technically impossible. And more specifically, I guess what seems really amazing to me is the fact that you can have, you know, 1,000 computers that can all literally mount the exact same hard drive image across the network. And I just want to wonder, I mean, how does that actually work? And also, like, I'm, you know, domain, I mean, IP, you know, computer names, domain SID, you know, issues. How can you take a 1,000 or 100 or 2, for that matter, enterprise computers and basically have them share a hard drive image, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have what's called our set computer account command line. And what that enables you to do is it takes each of the Ardence computers that are in your Ardence database. So Ardence identifies each client by its MAC address, and then through its MAC address, you can assign it a client name. And once you assign it the client name, you take use our set computer account utility that takes that client name and inserts it into AD. And essentially, all we're doing is creating a placeholder inside of AD with the machine name. And then you can take those machine names and you can put them into whatever OU you want. So if you have OUs that are, you know, for the accounting department, the sales department, the IT guys, you can do that as well. So you can still treat those computers as regular, everyday computers. They can still get their GPOs. They can still get the policies assigned to them, et cetera, et cetera. And what this set computer account does is it inserts the computer into AD. It creates a SID for it, and it also creates a password. And what that password does is syncs up a password in the Ardence database. And that password you can set to change every, 60 days or 90 days. And it's kind of like the same idea as the password on when you log into the domain. And what that does is keeps Ardence and the Active Directory synced up so that when the computer boots up, during the boot process, Ardence on the fly assigns the SID to make it unique so that when it boots off of that one single image, it's... To AD, it looks like a unique machine.
Because ordinarily, SIDs are read out of the registry, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a regular computer. So in your case, Windows boots like regular, right?
Yep.
It looks to the registry to read the SID from the registry, and then you intercept that?
Yeah, we basically intercept that and insert it in to create that unique machine when each machine boots up. So they look like separate physical machines every time they boot. So that when they log, and then you can log in to the domain and still act and look and feel like you're on the domain, even though you're booting off that one core image.
So you're Pixie booting, so you're obviously using DHCP for your IP address.
Correct, yep.
And if you want to manage that, of course, then you can just use that at the DHCP level and, you know, assign IPs and everything. And then computer name and SID, it's just, you know, you're just inserting it dynamically in between the disk and the OS, so the OS sees it as just a regular domain resource.
Correct, yep.
And then let's talk about the protocol itself, because I think the next question that people ask whenever they hear about how Ardence works is they say, okay, that can't possibly, I mean, you explain it and they're like, that sounds cool, but I mean, what's it do to your network and, how's it read and all that kind of stuff?
We're using UDP protocol, and, you know, everybody kind of cringes when they hear UDP. But the one thing Ardence does is when we boot, we have our client, and the client because the big issue is, UDP, you know, doesn't monitor the traffic, so you get a lot of drop packets, et cetera, et cetera. So our client actually kind of keeps track of that whole process and keeps the UDP traffic efficient. Also on the server side, we have a new mechanism in our 4.1 product called client pacing. And what that does is says, all right, let's say I have 1,000 servers on one Ardence server. Pace those clients to boot so that, let's say I boot all thousands of them at the same time. Pace them so that they don't kill my server, they don't kill the network, and they boot efficiently across your network.
So instead of servicing 10 nicely and screwing their 990 people, you can make it so they all boot more or less equally with
Correct.
Each other in terms
Correct.
Of performance.
Yep. So we always get that question, hey, what do you guys do to our network? What do you guys recommend? Typically we recommend gig backbone, But we can boot on 100 meg. We can boot on 10. I have schools out there that are booting on 10 meg, and the machines work fine. I have schools out there that are booting on 10 meg with gig cards in the PC, but are running like Pentium 3 700 megahertz processors. So Ardence is very flexible in the sense that we can boot on any network type, and we don't kill your network.
And then is it primarily just network intensive during the boot process?
Yeah, in the 3-3-3-5 days, you could boot, let's say 200 clients, and we'd call that a boot storm.
Wait, you mean 3-3-3-5, you mean Ardence 3?
Yeah, Ardence 3.3 and 3.5, or the 3.x days. If you booted 200 clients, we would call it a, simultaneously, we'd call that a boot storm. And now with our 4.1, 4.x product line, we're trying to alleviate that boot storm by putting in client pacing and mechanisms to control the boot.
So why did you use UDP as your protocol?
That's a good question, and I'd have to refer to my engineering for that one.
I imagine UDP probably has less overhead since it doesn't have as much, since UDP does not track as much as TCP does.
So the other dimension, this is Jeff Hibbert from Ardence, and I'm head of marketing here. TCP is a point-to-point protocol, so that if you want to do a multicast broadcast of a single image going online and having multiple client computers pick up that one image, you can't use TCP because you need to send one image to each client PC. Whereas if you're using UDP, you can now send one image down the line in a broadcast fashion, and hundreds of computers can get that one image. And what happens is with UDP through our protocol is if somebody misses a block or a sector, then they can request a sector. So basically you can send, the first 70 megabytes, and if anybody misses a couple sectors, you can send, to each PC the sector they need.
Okay, so it's like broadcasting out a whole book all at once, and if anyone misses a page here and there, they can redo just that. Yeah, but it's a lot more efficient than transmitting one page to each thing.
And then, typically added to that, the big question we always get is, let's say I have a 4 gig image. Do you guys stream down that full 4 gig image? The answer is no. When you press power on that computer and it Pixie boots and does its thing, and you see the, let's say with Windows XP, you see the bar go across, you see the Windows XP screen, we're only streaming down about 70 to 100 megs, maybe a little more if you're doing some GPOs. Initially to get the OS booted, and then once the OS is booted, it's on an as-needed basis, and we pull down as needed as we need the image. So that's another question we always get is, do you guys pull that whole 4 gig or 6 gig image down? And the answer is no. We only pull down what we need.
And I guess that's an important key, because it's not like, as you say, it's not like the image is being copied down and then run locally. You're actually, I guess very literally mounting the image across the network. And so if a disk block is requested, then it pulls that down. But if a particular disk block is never requested, then it never goes across.
Yeah, it leaves it up there. And then, also, getting deeper, we also do different cache types. So to keep the, the machine efficient as you're using it throughout the day, we have a cache. So let's say you open up Word and then you close Word. Well, if it doesn't dump the cache file so that when you open up Word again, it pulls it down again, it puts it into this cache. And the cache can be stored either locally on the hard drive, locally inside the RAM. So let's say you have a gig of RAM, you could leverage some of that RAM for Ardence to cache into.
In that case, you probably run faster with Ardence than natively.
Yeah. Or if you wanted to, you could even throw it up on the server. And a lot of our government customers do that, because then the device becomes more secure and there's no data ever saved on the local device.
And so in that case, so with that cache, especially if the cache is local, whether it's RAM or hard drive based, that means, when you're sharing an image, and I don't know what you call that, if that has a name or whatever, but when multiple different devices are sharing the same disk image, on the back end.
Yeah, we call that standard image, okay. Which is a read-only image.
Right, okay, so you got the standard image, the read-only image. I guess in that case then, so it's only, the only stuff that comes across the network is the initial stuff that, was stored in that image. But I guess anything that you write will have been written to your local cache. So if you need to read something that you previously wrote, that's coming locally, and that's not going across the network at all.
Correct. And the only time...
Like page file, for example.
Yeah.
It would turn out the page file ends up being essentially 100% local, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, and the only time you ever see you know, network trackers, if you need more, or if you haven't touched a portion of the image all day, and then you pull it down.
Yeah.
And then in the cases where people are using server-side caching, so they're taking that cache, putting it up on the network, then, yeah, you have some, you know, small read-write going across the network, but it looks like everyday network traffic usage. So, you know, and a lot of our like I said, a lot of our government customers use server-side caching because of the security aspect of it.
So if someone wants to use Ardence, and again, we talked about in the last conversation how there's really two big use cases on the desktop and then also on the server. And I guess these are your answer to this question depends on the use case. But I mean, if someone wants to use Ardence, you know, how do they get started? And again, I'm more interested from a technology standpoint. So, you know, I call you guys, I get the demo CD or buy it or whatever. So I'm sitting there, I've got my Citrix server. Let's say it's a Citrix environment and I've got, you know, 100 servers, all these different silos, and who the hell knows which patches are on which servers. I want to kind of standardize that. All right. So I got my chaotic Citrix environment. I have my Ardence CD. Now what happens?
Basically, what you would need is, you know, a server that's going to run your Ardence install. So we can run on, you know, 2000, 2003. You can even take Ardence and put it on a Windows XP desktop if you wanted to and run the server component on that in an enterprise environment. I personally wouldn't recommend
probably
that.
Not.
But,
yeah.
But so you would install Ardence. And then the key is you would have what's called a reference client. So let's say, you know, let's run with the Citrix example. Let's say you're running a silo of Office, and you had 50 servers running in that one silo. You would take one client, make that quote-unquote your reference client, and you would build your ultimate install. So you put your OS, you'd patch it, you install CPS, you'd, you know, tweak your Office install.
So this has become the master image,
yep.
Essentially.
Essentially, yeah. And then you would take that master image and you would build that to a VDisk up on the Ardence server.
And the VDisk is
our format. We call our disks are what we call VDisks.
So this is just format. Like a VMDK file for VMware, the same concept.
Or VHD for, you know, Microsoft, the same concept.
Yeah.
So
okay, yeah.
So we put all that master build into that VDisk, and then once you build that VDisk, you take that VDisk and you can stream it across those 50 servers.
So then that becomes as easily as going to the Ardence Management Console and what I guess just, well, I guess first you've got your 50 Office silo servers. All you need to do is to configure them to Pixie Boot.
Yep.
And then what? So then I guess you have to go to the Ardence Management Console, because the Ardence Console will then see that these are Pixie Booting, right? And then,
yeah.
So you have to tell it that
yeah,
they're using that.
There's two features in the there's one where you can have the client add feature. So every time a client boots, you can have it prompt you for a client name. And you can say, hey, what disk do you want to use? Or you can do what's called a template client in Ardence and have them automatically add themselves and automatically populate the database. So that's another option. And then there's also a third option, which we also allow for importing into the database as well using an Excel spreadsheet. So let's say you have the server name and their MAC addresses in an Excel spreadsheet, you can import that.
This
as well.
Is all based on MAC address. So
yeah.
When it boots, it knows what it is, and that's how you assign which VDisk it's going to map to.
Exactly. And again, the key is one disk across multiple servers. And then when you need to patch that one disk, you can have your production copy, let's say, and then you can have your backup copy running. And when you need to make a patch, you patch that backup copy. And when you're ready, you've QA'd it, and you're ready to roll out, you just swap the disks. And with the next reboot, the clients get
swapped. Swap the disks, you mean like virtually, which is within the console, right? So
yep.
You just tell it that I've got like 50 Office servers here, and I've got now two images. The one image they're all using currently, and then like the new image that I just created. And I literally just click on one of the images and tell it to, hey, instead use this VDisk instead of the old one. Bounce that box, and it's using the new one.
Correct.
And if it goes down in flames, then like, oops, undo it and reboot it, and you're using the old one. And if it's great, then
correct.
Do the next 50 or whatever.
Yep.
And then how about now also, you can, even if you're Pixie booting, you can have Ardence tell it to boot from the local hard drive too, right?
Correct, yeah. So let's say an example that I'm going to use tomorrow is, let's say you're running a MetaFrame XP environment, let's say, and you're running on 2000, it's all, and you have this 50 server, you know, silo running, and it's working great, but you want to upgrade. So you build your reference client, you do all the, you build your VDisk, and you stream it out, and it's just not right. Something goes wrong. You can revert back to that local hard drive install, and Ardence does not touch the local hard drive or taint it in any way. So that's good, because you always have a disaster recovery plan if needed, if something goes wrong with the Ardence VDisk, Or if you're testing a rollout of something, you can always revert back to what you know works.
And I guess that's probably used initially when people roll out. So they probably, as the first phase, they get all their services set to PixieBuoy to make sure it's booting through Ardence and all that kind of stuff. And then they can just kind of flip back and forth between using one of the Ardence V-Disks versus using the local hard drive until they're comfortable with everything.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now, what do you do for different types of servers? Like if I've got, you know, even our tiny little company, we've got Dell 1750s, 1850s, and 1950s. So if I have that in one silo, do I need to make separate V-disks, or is there anything I can do there?
Ardence has a technology that's called Common Image Mode, and what that enables you to do is to run one V-disk across multiple hardware platforms. So we have a technology that we've built, and what it requires is we just have a common NIC that we swap between each flavor of machine, and once you build your initial builds of hardware driver sets, and insert them into that image, you can then boot that one image off of the different flavors of hardware. So again, that's called common image mode.
So you actually have tools then that allows you to you build the three images for the three different pieces of hardware you have, and then it combines them together. Like, I mean, it looks for driver changes and builds them together into one kind of super image that has everything.
Yeah, we basically create our own HALs and insert them into the image, and then when they boot, basically what we're doing is we're overloading the image with the drivers, and when Ardence boots, it says, "Hey, I'm an 1850, so I get these drivers." And then let's say the 1950 boots, he gets these drivers, but it's off of that one image. We call that common image mode.
Okay, so in that case, it's not like SysPrep where it actually tries to install the drivers and fails. It's actually looking at your building's overloaded single image. And then the servers are each intelligent enough, and based on, I guess, again, what they're signed, based on MAC address, you tell it which ones are which, so it knows which driver set to pull out.
Yes. Yep.
When it boots.
Yep. So yeah, and we can also do that, not just on the server level, but also the desktop level, and that's where we got started with that. Is, customers came to us and said, "Hey, Ardence is great, but we want to be able to, manage multiple flavors of desktops on one image," and that's how this whole concept came about.
And then so once you go through that initial install and work with the different drivers in that overloaded image, it is just one image as far as Ardence is concerned. So if you have like an Office hotfix you need to apply, you only need to do that for one time, even though you might have 10 different platforms support on that image.
Exactly, yeah. Yep. So yeah, again, same concept. You would boot that. Let's say you have a image one, image two. Image one is what the clients are using right now. Image two is the image you're going to patch. You just apply the patch, and then through the Ardence console say, "Hey, clients, you're going to get this image on the next reboot," and they get it. So
how long have you been with Ardence?
I'm coming up on a 1 year right now.
So this is not your first job in IT?
Nope. I actually got, when I first got out of school, I started working in IT for a biotech company based in Cambridge, and I was a sysadmin / technical service guy for running Altirist, doing the imaging for the company. And basically I started using Altirist around 99 and kind of watched them grow and to what they are now.
It's part of Symantec now. So
yeah. And so I got into that, and biotech kind of had its up and down, and there was some layoffs, and I wasn't really happy. So I kind of took a chance and got into the software realm, and worked with a company called ManageSoft. They're in the same space as Altiris, Landesk, SMS. They do, asset management, patch management, software deployment, stuff like that. So I worked as a SE there, and was there for 3 years, and then came over to Ardence as a systems engineer.
So did you find Ardence? I mean, the reason I'm kind of asking this is because the technology is I don't know. From my standpoint, it's one of the more interesting technologies that I kind of come across in the work that I do.
Yeah.
And so I imagine your first impression of Ardence was the same as mine, which is like, okay, there's no way this works, right?
Yeah, well, it's a funny story. One of my colleagues that I work with now, him and I work together at ManageSoft, and he actually came over to Ardence first, and I started researching the company. I said, "Man, I really got to go work there." And yeah, you're right. When I first saw what they did, I was like, "Yeah, I don't believe it. I got to see this." And it really comes down to that. Seeing is believing. And once I came over, I said, "Yeah, I got to work here." I actually hounded Ardence to hire me.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice.
And finally got hired, and I love it here. And, you know, even now as a Citrix company, it's I love working here. I got to play with Citrix now. I'm a technical junkie. I love VMware. I love Citrix. You know, I love all the application streaming products that are out there. So anytime you throw technology at me, I'll play with it.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, so being a technology junkie, so where do you think all this is, you know, our industry is kind of interesting right now because we've got server-based computing. We've got now there's Ardent, which is doing OS streaming. But, of course, there's application-level streaming with, like, you know, Altiris SVS plus AppStream or Software City or Citrix Streaming Server, which is Tarpon. You know, there's a whole dynamic desktop slash, well, I guess you'd call it VDI, but now that you work for Citrix, you have to call it DDI, right?
Yep,
so
yep.
Is that cool kind of thing? So I wonder if you just kind of, you know, it's such a broad question, and I know I can't just ask you kind of, you know, how you think this all works, but I guess, you know, you've got Ardents and you're streaming stuff at the OS level. So let's kind of start with application streaming. So you're now part of Citrix. You've got Citrix Streaming Server. Subtricity is also a Boston company, so they're, you know, right in your backyard.
Yeah.
You know, so how's this all kind of play out in your mind as a technical junkie?
Well, you know, first off, I know SoftGrid very well. I actually have a lot of friends who work over there, and I like the technology. And I've had a look at Tarpon, and really, what those two solutions solve with Ardents is the ability to do a dynamic desktop. So you can have that one baseline image, and on the fly, be able to stream the apps down. So, you know, my real thing is I'm looking. You know, really at, you know, where Citrix is going to go and what they're going to do at Tarpon. And, you know, I'm really interested in that product line right now. And SoftGrid, you know, is a great product too. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
So all your friends, did you make fun of them because they were with SoftGrid and all of a sudden they're bought by Citrix or by Microsoft and you're like, oh, you guys are working for the man now.
And
then all of a sudden.
Well, they were living pretty nicely. I mean, I have a couple of friends and they did well and Microsoft took care of them. And then, yeah, here we are now. We're bought by Citrix and they're all calling me now saying, hey, what's going to happen to you guys? And so, yeah, it made it interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think? I mean, you kind of talked about, you know, these application streaming and enabling DDI and VDI and that kind of stuff. And I mean, certainly Ardents has a big play in there as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jeff can help me out here, but I mean, I know Citrix has a plan for us. And, you know, I think if you look at the DDI concept, and where they want to go with that, I think we fit in very nicely. And then you take Tarpon and you throw it on top of that, it just makes it even more of a no-brainer. So then you look at this whole thin client market. You know, we get a lot of calls today on the thin client as well. So, hey, can you guys stream down to the thin client and make the thin client kind of a bare metal machine where I could just power it on and, bam, streams the OS down, and that's our device edition. So we get a lot of that. So, in my opinion, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next, 6 to 18 months with Ardents and Citrix, and where we go with the Tarpon line and the DDI concept and the desktop server.
So what's that mean for you? I mean, it's now 2 months since the acquisition. So have you spent a lot of time having to explain how this works to Citrix employees? Or I imagine you get pretty busy now.
Yeah, and you know, my big thing now is I'm trying to get my hands on all the Citrix applications I can, so I can learn them, so I can be an asset to Citrix as well.
Have you gotten any NetScalers?
Actually, as employees, we use NetScaler every day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So it so far it works great. So
yeah. No, I still can't get my hands on one of those things. So.
So. Yeah, and I mean, personally, I haven't got the appliance on board, but we use it to log into VPN.
I guess, how does this work? I imagine with Citrix, with them being all about remote access, they could probably say that, you know, welcome to Citrix, you're now part of our company, and then the very next day give you our URL and a password, right? And then there's your email and there's your
I mean, that's essentially how it worked. They basically came in, and within half an hour, my laptop was ready to go.
Huh.
And it was Citrixized, is what I'll call it. So, and, you know, I had all the you know, the agent for the connection, the ICA client.
EdgeSites and all that stuff.
And all that. So, And it all took about a half an hour.
Cool.
So.
Cool. All right. Well, Pete, I certainly appreciate you taking the time with me.
Yeah, this was fun.
Here today. And I'm sure we'll be talking with you a lot more in these next months and years as this technology progresses.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate it.
Thanks.